Bleacher Report. Andy Bailey joining us on the program. Andy, always good to have you on the program. What's happening today, man?
Not much. It's always good to be on the program, Keith.
I'm sure it is, Andy, as always, because you get to talk to Dave, and he'll have, you know, he'll bring out one
what
general question out there. Maybe.
No, I'm not talking to Dave.
He's, you know, he's threatening not
you
to
talk.
You
made me mad, so I'm not going to talk. Andy, I love you, but I'm not putting up with these two.
Dave and everywhere else.
Huh?
I encourage questions from Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. These two nim nerds can just, you know, bite it.
You know, as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season, a lot of focus on whether Golden State's going to be able to get past that 72 win mark. But I've been reading a lot and seeing a lot of talk, should they even concern themselves with this? And it seems like this team has had that goal when it started looking like they might be able to threaten that 72 win mark, that they've had that goal that they want to do that, and there's no plan on resting any players, right?
Yeah, and I think that goal might have even started before the season. There was a lot of talk in the summer, and I think more than really I've ever heard for a defending champion about them getting lucky. Every team they faced on the way to the title dealt with some kind of injury, and then they played the Cavs without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving for most of the series. So I think they felt kind of slighted from the start, and I think it's something that's been in the back of their mind this whole time. So. And now recently they've come right out and said, like if Kerr said, you know, straight up, if these guys want to do it, I'm not going to rest them. We're going to push for this record, and I think they should. It's from now on, if they get that 73, anytime there's talk of the best team in NBA history, their name's going to be brought up. So I don't begrudge them going for it at all.
I agree with that, but if they get the record and don't win a championship,
it's kind of weird.
How much criticism is that? I mean, you know, there's going to be people out there that are just going to be extremely critical. Whatever happens, whatever decisions made, and whatever happens. But if that happens, where they get 73 and don't win a championship, how much criticism is Steve Kerr and that team going to face?
It'll be a ton, and I think the closest thing you can compare it to would be the Patriots, the year that they went undefeated in the regular season mm-hmm. and lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. I don't follow the NFL as closely as I follow the NBA, but you don't hear a ton about that team, and they went undefeated in the regular season. So I do think they would face quite a bit of heat immediately, but then I think they would suddenly not be, you know, considered as heavily, the best team ever. I think people would automatically refer back to that 95-96 Bulls team who did pull off the title. I at this point, I would be really surprised if they didn't win, though. It's extremely hard to imagine any team, even the Spurs, beating them 4 out of 7 times.
Andy, you know, you just mentioned, you know, you'd be surprised if the Spurs beat the Warriors 4 out of 7 in a series. But as we get closer to the playoffs, you know, we know what San Antonio is all about and has been all about for a long time, and seems like Oklahoma City is playing very good now. Again, I know it's still regular season, but perhaps it's important for them to get on a roll as the playoffs, and the Clippers are, well, you know, maybe depending on the day, can be certainly very dangerous. So in your mind, you know, can any of those teams, I guess, beat the Warriors ultimately in a 7-game series come playoff time?
The one that I've been going back to all season is the Thunder. And I think it's just because you break down a 7-game series and you can imagine that Russell Westbrook could take over 2 games and Kevin Durant could take over 2 games. They're two of the 5 most talented players in the NBA. And just on pure talent alone, I think they have the best shot. The Spurs have been incredible this season. I don't want to take anything away from them. But the pace and the way that the Warriors play, I think, is going to get to the Spurs in a series. Popovich has been amazing in the way that he's managed minutes for those older stars, and they're always ready for the playoffs. But I think the Warriors are a different beast than what they've ever seen before. And the Clippers, like you said, it depends on the day. They're very unreliable. Sometimes they can look great, and sometimes it can look like Chris Paul wants to strangle everybody on his team. So, Who knows what's going to happen with them? I think if I had to pick one team that could, have a shot, it'd be the Thunder.
And Oklahoma City right now, Andy, is playing some outstanding basketball. They've won 8 in a row. That win at Toronto last night was extremely impressive. Russell Westbrook is having – I mean, Steph Curry's going to win the MVP, but Russell Westbrook is having a tremendous season. That's MVP caliber most years. They seem to be the Thunder playing their best ball right now as we get head down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to key in on Russell Westbrook, too. So he's averaging 24.7 points, 10.9 assists, and 8.1 rebounds for 36 minutes. And that's literally never happened in NBA history. Not even Oscar Robertson hit those numbers. Oscar, obviously, was the only guy to ever average a triple-double, but he played significantly more minutes than Westbrook is this season. So, like you said, he's been incredible. They're all clicking at just the right time. I think mostly Billy Donovan needed a little bit of an adjustment period. It's almost a different sport going from college to the NBA. So it looks like he's kind of found his legs under him a little bit too. And to me, that's, like I said, that's the team that I wouldn't pick them to beat the Warriors, but they're the ones that have the best chance.
Andy, I know the train wreck that has been the Los Angeles Lakers hit an all-time low last night, losing by, 48 points at the Utah Jazz, the tied for the most the worst loss in franchise history. They've won 15 games. You know, it's all been, you know, it's Kobe Bryant's swan song. He's certainly not going out on a positive note. What are your thoughts of that and then moving forward? And I guess just a second part of that question is, what have your thoughts been about Larry Nance Jr., the rookie from Wyoming, and what he's been able to do his rookie season and maybe how he could fit into the Lakers' future plans?
Well, I'll start with the second part. Larry Nance has been one of the only bright spots for Lakers fans this season. I think at times they can get excited about D'Angelo Russell. He's looked really good at times. Jordan Clarkson has looked decent at times, but the guy who consistently, you know, does what he does every night, which is play with energy, defend, have some highlight finishes, is Larry Nance. And for him to be sort of the lone bright spot and the lone source of consistency on a team that's been so bad this season is really impressive for him, and I think it speaks well for his career. I think he's going to be the kind of guy that coaches around the NBA are going to love for as long as his career lasts. He's going to be that energy guy that coaches trust to defend, you know, two or three different positions. And I think he's going to have a long, successful career. As for the Lakers themselves, it's just been a train wreck. And, you know, there's a little part of me that thinks that the front office knew that Byron Scott, you know, he actually has the worst record of any coach in NBA history with at least 1,000 games. So my first inclination when they hired him was why, but maybe they kind of knew all along that it wasn't going to go well because now they have a shot at another top lottery pick. And, you know, like I said, D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson have shown things at times this season, and Nance has been good. If they can add another number one or number two pick to that, they have a pretty bright future. So This happens in the NBA a lot. It's really cyclical, and teams have to bottom out generally before they can get good again. It's just that Lakers fans haven't really had to deal with that very often.
Andy, do you think the Lakers have utilized Nance about the way they probably should or you expected? I know he's, you know, he had some health issues, before the season, even around the All-Star break. But, do you think they've utilized him about the best way they can, or do you think he's been underutilized?
Well, I actually... he's played more than I expected him to, and he's done a little bit more than I expected him to just because I didn't think he'd see the floor very much, just being a late first-round pick. Now, when he's on the floor, I do think there are different ways that he could be used, and I think there are different ways that D'Angelo Russell could be used. I think those two together could be a really potent pick-and-roll combination. That's the bread and butter of NBA offense, and it's really effective when you have a guard who can shoot and pass like Russell can, and you have a big man who's explosive and athletic and will really hustle on those rolls to the rim. It'll draw a bunch of defenders down there with him, and I think Nance is that perfect kind of a role guy. So they've basically relegated him to just be sort of a hustle, offensive rebound type of guy on offense, but I really think there is more that he can do, especially as a pick-and-roll guy, and even showed a little bit of range at Wyoming, so maybe, you know, some year or two from now he could be a pick-and-pop guy, too. I think there definitely is more that, that Lakers fans have not seen from him.
By the way, who wouldn't want to see some sort of combination of Spurs, Thunder, Western Conference semis, and Warriors, Spurs, or Warriors, Thunder in the Western Conference finals? I'd sign up for that every day of the week, man. That's going to be so great.
The Western Conference playoffs are going to be amazing again, for sure. And the East will be a little bit better, but I think the marquee is definitely still the West.
Definitely.
I think it's amazing we've gone through this entire interview and nobody's brought up the Nuggets at all.
There's a reason. There's a reason. Maybe
they're 100 miles away. We're talking about everybody else. We never even mentioned the Nuggets.
What's their record, Andy?
The Nuggets are 31-44.
Thank you. Okay. Enough said. It's been a struggle. It's been a struggle for them, Andy. Well, yeah,
it has been a struggle. They do have some bright spots, though. Moutier has played better in the last month or so. And Nikola Jokic is one of the best-kept secrets in the league. He's actually been, by some of the advanced statistics, the most impactful rookie in the NBA this season. Great passing big man. He can shoot. That guy's got a really bright future.
Andy, looking forward to ahead to the NBA draft, and I don't know how much you get to see Wyoming play, but you know Josh Adams had a pretty spectacular year for the Cowboys. You know, third leading scorer in the nation, pretty crazy athleticism. You know, I don't know how much you've seen him, but does his game translate to the NBA? And does he have a shot of making either being drafted or making an NBA roster in your mind?
I definitely think he has a chance, and it was maybe the last week or so of the season, I actually started paying fairly close attention to him and kind of watching him on the draft websites like Draft Express and things like that. It would probably take some team taking a gamble in the second round on him. Undersized senior point guards aren't, you know, generally a hot commodity in the draft. Additionally, just Wyoming isn't a school that generally generates a lot of interest from NBA front offices. But like you said, he is extremely explosive, and I think that makes up for his lack of size. He showed this season to have a really good shooting stroke, which is maybe the most important skill a guard can have. And even if he doesn't get drafted, just the sheer production, third leading scorer in the country, like you said, that's definitely going to get him some workouts with some NBA teams. He could land on a summer league team. And if he plays the way that he did, you know, this year at Wyoming in some of the summer leagues, you never know what can happen. You know, he could certainly end up on a D-League team. So that would be somewhere Wyoming fans could follow him. And, you know, if he wants to make more money, I'm sure there will be plenty of offers lined up in Europe too.
Good stuff as always. Andy Bailey covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. We do appreciate the time, Andy, and we'll check in with you soon. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take it easy. There you go. Andy Bailey joining us here on the program. Again,